For guys, size matters. But bigger is definitely not better for guys with overdeveloped breasts. The condition is called gynecomastia, and Dr. Frank Lista of the Plastic Surgery Clinic can help. Dr. Lista is a world-renowned plastic surgeon who has perfected the procedure that corrects gynecomastia with virtually no scarring. Visit theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca and size up your options for downsizing male breasts. Theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. If Bob didn't say it, then it probably ain't true. This is Primetime Sports with a man who cannot tell a lie. Bob McCown. Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
For this Thursday, the 21st of May, 2015, Bob McCown with Ken Reed now. Doug McLean joins us in a few minutes. We'll get his take on the Mike Babcock goings-on of the day. And Jerry Sullivan of the Buffalo News will join us. One of the interesting things, if you didn't see the Babcock news conference from this morning, was there was at least one, maybe two, Buffalo reporters asking questions about what the hell happened in Buffalo.
There's a couple, yeah, made the drive up.
And one guy was very pointed about, well, did you use Buffalo? Something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand Buffalo's situation. I think they're angry.
Sure.
Because they didn't get the guy. But I can't pretend to understand or know what the reasons were why Mike Babcock chose Toronto.
Well, you have to ask questions. That's what reporters get paid to do. So they ask the questions.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know, Sullivan is never shy in terms of having strong opinions about Buffalo sports teams. And we'll see what his take on it is, see if he's angry, which he might be. He might be furious. Or he might say they got what they deserve.
Or he might just say, hey, I had a job to do. Did it.
Well, now they go on to whatever their plan B is.
Sure. But
it's been a rough couple of weeks for them, you know. I mean,
missed out on McDavid.
They
didn't win the draft lottery. They're still going to get a great player in Jack Eichel. But yes, they missed out on McDavid. So bummer. Nobody was wearing Eichel jerseys, I don't think, to Sabres games.
Well, and I've said before, I don't doubt for a second that right now McDavid is the number one guy. And there's no doubt that Edmonton will draft him. And there's almost no doubt that the Sabres will take Eichel. But are you 100% sure that the number one choice will be clearly better than the number two choice?
You can be
10 years from now.
Correct. You can be 100% sure right now, but it doesn't mean you're 100% correct. And that's why we play the games, and that's why, we go back in time, Taylor or Tyler, would you take Sagan or Hall now? You know? I would still debate who's the better player amongst those two. There's no real huge difference between those two for me, but I think McDavid, let's face it, he's a generational player, so you got to go with him.
Well, I don't doubt that. I mean, I accept that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you don't know how a guy is going to perform at this level, at the highest level. What is his character like? What are the surroundings like? Neither one of these teams has been very good. You could certainly argue that McDavid is going to be surrounded by higher quality talent, but talent that has failed to produce anything that's even close to a playoff run. Now they have new management and they have a new coach, and that coach is pretty good, we are led to believe. All history demonstrates that he's a good coach. Maybe that's what they need. Maybe he's going there at the exact right time. On the other hand, Eichel can play a little bit below the bar, I think.
Kind of sneak under the radar, you think, down in Buffalo?
Well, I think so, because I don't think nationally in this country we're going to be spending that much time focused on Jack Eichel.
I agree with you.
The attention is all going to be on the guy in Edmonton. And the U.S. media isn't going to pay any attention to what happens in Buffalo.
Correct. The Buffalo media will. The U.S. media will not. It's funny, too, if they won the draft lottery, we would have been doing daily drives down to Buffalo to keep an eye on Connor McDavid. We will not be doing that with Jack Eichel there. So, yes, he will fly under the radar compared to young Mr. McDavid.
And that might, and that might be important in the development of him.
I guess it depends on the personality.
You don't know.
No, we don't.
I would say that Eichel's notoriety, the amount of media attention that he's received so far in his career, has been negligible.
Compared to Connor McDavid?
Compared to Connor McDavid the last year, for sure, and probably 2 years.
Well, I read a tweet today. It said when Mike Babcock was introduced as the Anaheim coach, 10, 12 years ago, there was about 5 print reporters there. So it all depends on where you play and where you coach and what kind of coverage you get.
What do you expect from Babcock? He was very pointed about the length of the process,
mm-hmm.
to the point of saying that he talked to the board,
mm-hmm.
and said, 3 years from now, while we're still building this thing, are you still going to have my back? Are you still going to be patient?
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing I got from today's news conference and from what I heard on the radio just now is, to me, it seemed like it was as much an interview process for Mike Babcock interviewing the Leafs as it was for the Leafs interviewing Mike Babcock.
Oh, I think that's 100% correct.
Because he's sitting there going, look, if I'm going to do this, the word he used was pain. The word he used was process. So, yeah, that's impressive. I still can't believe we're sitting here and Mike Babcock is the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's a shocker to me that they did it. They pulled it off.
It's shocking because everybody had written the Maple Leafs off in the process. Mm-hmm. And I never completely, I confess, I never completely understood why.
I did. I didn't think they had a chance. I didn't think there'd be any reason for a Mike Babcock to come here, but he obviously saw.
But here's the thing, Kenny. A year and a half ago, no less than a year ago, during last season, all the talk about Babcock's going to leave Detroit and come to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was incessant. There wasn't talk about Babcock's going to leave Detroit and go anyplace else.
Correct.
That didn't start until he announced that he was going to go through this, little tour.
And we also, back when all that talk started, Toronto wasn't, we didn't envision the Leafs having the season they had. Remember, around the 1st of January, I believe, they were still pumping in goals. When Carlisle got fired, they were 6th in the East. So they weren't this bottom-dwelling mess that they suddenly become. So I think that had a lot to do with it. It was people going, okay, well, why would Babcock go to Toronto now? Because this team's in a lot of trouble. But I think he got his message through to owners and to Mr. Shanahan that, look, if I'm going to do this, we're going to have to suck it up. And you can't go for the quick fix, which historically has always been done in this city.
And well, even when Burke was here, and I've talked about this, Burke had a plan. He had a long-term plan. He said there was going to be pain. Mm-hmm. And he made some changes. He thought his defense was really good. He thought his defense was the best in the NHL. Mm-hmm. Once he got to that point, he realized, I need a scorer. I don't have a scorer. And he went and did the Kessel deal. And he gave up what he thought was going to be a late first-round draft pick. Guy who might make it, might not make it, might be a good player, but very little chance he was going to be a great player, an impactful player. And the team fell apart, and it wound up being the number two draft choice, mm-hmm. number two pick in the draft,
mm-hmm.
who isn't a generational player, but is a very
good,
very good one.
I believe he's named Mr. Tyler Seguin. And I think that's it. You have to, for the Leafs to really turn this around, it's going to take a while. And you know what? Babcock definitely got the answer he wanted to out of the ownership, out of upper management, that, okay, we're in it for the long haul. And it's such a great day for Leafs fans to celebrate the last couple of days. Hats off to them. Have fun. But just know, it's going to hurt. And I'm curious to see what the fan base will be like in a couple of years, if the pain is, Mr. Babcock put it, is still ongoing.
Well, I'll tell you one thing they did. They bought time with the fan base. I don't think MLSC really, I'm not going to say they don't care about the fan base.
They have to.
But they're not listening to the complaints. The building's full, or more or less full.
It wasn't always full at the end of last year, was it?
That's why I mitigated what I said. I don't think they're in any danger of economic disaster.
No.
Regardless. But what they did is they bought time.
Hey, at no point over the next 5 years, I think, are we going to sit here and go fire the coach, right? Which is usually what you have to do if it's a slow news day, throw fire the coach out there, the phone line's
lit
up, right?
Shanahan comes in. I mean, it's an important announcement, but it didn't change the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter comes in. Maybe an even more important announcement. Very little ripple. This is the first impactful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a guy with a track record that everybody's paid attention to, that's getting paid a crap load of money. And I don't think this fan base is going to stand up and boo if this team wins two of its first 20 games. I think he's bought them time and bought them credibility. And it's because he's on the bench and is essentially a face in the crowd. He's not up in a private box. He's not a guy in a suit somewhere overseeing things. If you buy into Mike Babcock now, and almost everybody does, you're going to give him the time.
I was talking to Arash before I came on, and I said, oh, the best question you asked was, and then I had a brain blip, and I couldn't think of it, and now it's occurred to me again, and I think it's going to be the biggest challenge for Mike Babcock. And let's face it, Mike Babcock loves to win. He admits it, loves to win, and the biggest challenge is going to be coaching every game to win, but not losing sight of that big picture and what you're really trying to build. Because once the puck drops, you want to win. We all accept that. We talked about tanking.
Babcock more than anybody.
Right. We talked about tanking. There's no way any player in any lineup, I don't care what sport it is, doesn't want to win. You want to win. Mike Babcock wants to win. But at the same time, there's a bigger picture here. And that's got to be tough. It's going to be a challenge. And I think that's going to be an interesting thing to watch over the next few years.
Is Mr. McLean ready for us? We have Doug McLean with us.
I think he likes to keep us waiting just a little, doesn't he, Doug? Doug. Bob.
Oh. Doug's not available? All right. Well.
How cool is McLean that he can just brush you off like that?
Well, he tried once before. How'd that work out?
How long was he banned for?
I don't remember. Year and a half? They tell me a year and a half.
Yeah.
We'll see what the issue is with Mr. McLean in just a few minutes.
His car is probably late to pick him up.
One of the interesting things that we alluded to during the Babcock news conference this morning was the notion by a couple of members of the Buffalo media that Babcock had perhaps led Buffalo along, played them, used them. They didn't infer it as much as specifically said it. So clearly there is a certain level of anger and resentment in Buffalo, and I think we can all sort of appreciate and understand that. Here's our friend Jerry Sullivan of the Buffalo News. Mr. Sullivan, how are you today?
I'm okay. They're not real pleased with me down here right now, but that's nothing new.
Well, that's an everyday occurrence, isn't it, pretty much?
But once in a while I'll write a little tearjerker, but... And I try to be fair and balanced, but sometimes I just tell it the way I see it. I actually had the nerve to suggest that Toronto is a greater metropolis than Buffalo, New York in today's
public. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
People want me to leave town. The town has been so great to me, and it has, and I love Buffalo. But come on. I mean, if he wanted to live in Toronto, his wife wanted to live in Toronto, it's understandable. The idea that he lied, I mean, come on. If Mary Williams had taken his $100 million deal around the NFL, shopped around, got a better deal, would he have been a liar and a cad? It's funny that when it's a coach, it seems like it's a different standard. They just played the game, didn't they? I don't see a big deal there. Unless he signed something or promised something, that this is how negotiation is done. Terry Pegula didn't win one.
Yeah.
All right, move on.
Well, and we all sort of expected it was Buffalo or Detroit. Even those of us on this side of the border had really no idea that the Maple Leafs were even in the picture here. Do you know anything about what was actually offered by Mr. Pegula?
I only know what was written. You know, I follow the Intrepid Hockey writing community yesterday. So besides that, I don't know. It was said that the numbers were about the same. The $50 million number is floating around Buffalo. Tuesday night when we thought the whole thing was pretty much done. So I think Pegula's offer was competitive, but I don't think – I mean, once Toronto got in the ball game and threw the big money out there, I think that was it. I mean, it was not like Babcock was going to go back and try to get Terry to go to 6 or 7, which he might have done. You know, Bucky Gleason on our little TV show said 6 or 7 a while back because he thought it could get to that point. And who knows with Terry Pegula? I mean, it's all, he'll throw money around, but Babcock, if that was his game to get Toronto to reach that level, that was probably the end of the game.
He indicates that that had nothing to do with it. I've also been told, and again, this is all, none of this is confirmed, that at some point at least, and I believe it might have been 2 days ago, Buffalo's offer was 10 years and approximately the same money. So it was even a longer-term contract than what he wound up getting with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Ultimately, I think you're right. It came down to where he wanted to be and where he and his wife want to be. Their last daughter is, I guess, on her way to college. They're going to be empty nesters now for the first time in their lives. They won't be there. Well, I guess they're there now. And I guess it became a little bit about lifestyle. And I don't know. Can you blame anybody for choosing anywhere? I mean, there are guys that would want, that don't want to play hockey in the North or the Northeast. They want to play in the Southwest. There are guys that would love to go to Phoenix, love playing in Anaheim or L.A., love playing in Florida. I don't get that as a hockey guy, but I respect the fact that everybody has their own opinion of where they want to be and what they want to do.
Yeah, we've had players for years telling us that Buffalo's not a great destination. And Willis McGahee used to go up to Toronto and talk about how much better it was than Buffalo, the better clubs and all that stuff. We were made fun of. If Babcock wanted to go there, it's certainly understandable. Now, if the numbers were different, if Toronto, you know, like Detroit, was offering a million less a year, I mean, then it is about the money. But all things being equal, I guess that's where he wanted to be. Now, as I suggested today, it might not have helped that this has been such a dysfunctional organization over the years, and that they, you know, Patty LaFontaine walked away, and they might not be perceived as such a perfect situation as Buffalo fans would like to believe. They just come up to worst years in the history of the franchise.
Now, I get that, Jerry, but remember, consider the alternative. Take a look at what the Toronto Maple Leafs have been the last 10 years. You know, he didn't exactly take... Yeah, I mean, crappy.
I'm just saying the gap might not have been as wide as some people in Buffalo wanted to believe. I mean, I don't know if all these first-round picks are going to be, you know, bullseyes and they're going to win, you know, in 3 years, be back in the playoffs. I think the competitor in him, let's just put the competitor in him might have thought, you know what, I can turn that Toronto situation around a little quicker than people think. And that Buffalo situation, maybe it isn't so great. I'm just trying to speculate here as the, you know, the negative nabob in Buffalo, that it might not have been as attractive to him as people, you know, wanted to believe.
The one thing that I think is true, because I've heard this, I mean, I've been doing this for 40 years and in this market, and the one thing that is absolute is the recognition among hockey people that, believe it or not, Toronto is the center of the hockey universe. And guys understand that if you can win a cup after 50 years almost of no Stanley Cups in Toronto, if you can be that guy, you are king forever. That it is a challenge filled with obstacles, but a challenge that is almost impossible to reject. And a lot of people have taken a kick at it over the last 10, 15 years, and none of them have been successful. I don't know whether Mike's going to be successful. I don't know whether Shanahan's got the right vision. I don't know whether Hunter's, you know, the greatest procurer of talent out there. I got no idea. But if you look at the people that have been here and failed, it's a pretty good list. It's not crummy guys. It's guys with good track records who have come here and failed miserably.
And why is that? Is that because they haven't, you know, bottomed out? I mean, the thinking in Buffalo is that they've done their bottoming out and they're on the way back and they're 2 or 3 years ahead of Toronto in the curve.
I agree.
That would be an enticement, but does he think in his mind that he'll be the king in 5 years, that it can't possibly happen before then? I don't know. I'm saying maybe his ego is that such that he thinks he can win. I mean, this is hockey. We've seen teams turn it around.
Yeah.
We've seen hockey, the chemistry of hockey teams and what makes a team get it together, sometimes it can be very intangible, and it's not always just about top draft picks. I mean, look at that one line there in Tampa that they put together. That's, you couldn't have a line like that 2 years from now if you really nailed it.
Sure,
is
you
that
could.
Good. Now, is that good? I can't think that two teams are offering them twice what anyone's ever made as a hockey coach just because he's hot. Although I do remember reading Steve Simmons and the fine columnist up there a couple months ago saying, well, why is there such a difference between Hitchcock and Babcock right now? But anyway, I'm rambling.
But I mean, you know, with due respect, I've raised that very same issue, that if you look at the record of Hitchcock and Babcock over the last 4 years, and knew nothing else about hockey and just looked statistically at the numbers, you'd say, well, Hitchcock's a better coach than Babcock. He's got a better record. He's got more playoff wins. He's got more playoff series. He's got this, that, and the other thing. Bruce Boudreau is climbing that ladder quickly, quickest coach to 300 wins. You know, who would, you know, if you walked along the street, even to a hockey fan, and say, which coach won 300 games faster than anybody else in the history of the NHL? Would you say Bruce Boudreau? I don't think so. But it's true. So, you know, is Babcock the best coach in the NHL? I don't know the answer to that question. But he's got reputation, and he's in the prime of his life, and he's got two gold medals from Team Canada. He's got enough that he was able to market himself and wind up pulling down more than double the next highest paid coach. A question for you, Mr. Sullivan. Where do you think the Sabres go next? Do they have to pull a rabbit out of their hat now because the fan base had this tantalizing expectation that Babcock was going to go there?
My best guess is they go right back to Luke Richardson, which was the thinking all along that was the fit for Murray. To Murray, who's a fairly new general manager.
Yeah,
I mean that was I didn't have any sense of how this play with him. I know he and Babcock were friends way back, but he's building a certain power here, and it might have been a little difficult. I mean, obviously the big guy in the room with the big money would have been Babcock, and how does that work? We have a very similar situation going on with Rex Ryan and Doug Whaley. You know, the superstar coach comes in and claims, well, he can get along, but I get the impression these guys both want say over personnel. So back to the point, Richardson might be a better fit to grow with Murray and a bunch of young players. I think there might be a part of him that wanted that all along. I mean, this is, to me, a Pegula show. Pegula always wants to wave the big wallet and get the big-name guy, and he can do it, and he didn't get this one. But while I think it looks bad for the organization, I do think Babcock's probably the best coach in hockey. The thing makes a lot of sense to do it with the guy from the AHL to have him grow along with the players. But that's where I think they'll go. Is Biles in the talk? I know people think that technically he's not that good a coach, even though he won a cup. So I would say Richardson, but we're at a point in hockey, intelligence here, where a lot of people are just guessing.
Well, the AHL plan's working well for Tampa Bay right now, so it can definitely work. Jerry, I want to go back to the presser today, and we knew that the Buffalo questions were going to come up, and I know I've read your article, and but I want to know, first off, was Mike Babcock candid enough, and did Buffalo fans get their answer? But do they even deserve an answer on why Mike Babcock chose Toronto over Buffalo?
I think he said what he needed to say today. Again, I mean, I said up the top, maybe I'm not sympathetic enough to the feelings of the people of Buffalo. He went the other way. I mean, I don't see a whole lot of mystery here. I had one guy in my mailbag use the term nefarious. It just, maybe this was his play all along. He was trying to play Pegula for big money, and had no intention of coming here. That could be what happened. But, you know, Joe Schmo out there in his $50,000 a year job would do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
To spin it into a $200,000 a year job.
Everybody in the world would do it.
Yep.
Everybody would do it.
What you do? I mean, big deal. I mean, we're supposed to be big boys in Buffalo, and sometimes I think our small-timeness comes across in situations like this. You know, they beat back Bon Jovi and all those people for the football team. Great. You know, and this one you lose. This is hockey. This is your sport. And you might lose that one once in a while. And so what? Keep moving. You get all the draft picks. You got Jack Eichel, who's going to be, you know, one of the greatest players ever, apparently. And it should go very well here.
Do you think the bar was raised, the expectations were raised when Pegula hired his football coach to get Rex Ryan in? I mean, I don't know whether you think he's, you know, the be-all and the end-all, but, you know, most people think he was a pretty good hire. Do you think that raised the bar?
Raised for hockey? Yeah, I think it was. I think in his own mind, he thought of himself as someone who could attract the big name and the big splash. And these people are shrewd about public relations and stuff, and they know how this plays to get these people. They come off as big time, and they can sell it. And I think it did raise the bar a little bit on that. And again, get back to the thing. I'm not convinced. You know, it would have been the best thing. Maybe this town isn't big enough for Mike Babcock and Rex Ryan. I mean, that's a lot of. I mean, those are the two biggest coaching free agents to be the highest paid football coach in Buffalo history and the highest paid coach in history of the NHL in Buffalo. It would be great for us in the media. It's going to be a fun time anyway in these next few years. But I think you're right there. And I think, remember, deep down, he's a hockey guy, Pegula.
Yeah.
He wanted to make a point after buying the team, like, hey, don't paint me as just a hockey guy. I'm a football guy, too. I rooted for the Detroit Lions and all this stuff. He's a hockey guy.
Yeah.
He cried when he saw Gilles Perreault. He didn't cry when he saw some football player. So that's where his heart is. And I think he really wants to be big in this sport. And he's embarrassed himself in the hockey world, I think.
Well,
you come in talking hockey heaven, and then suddenly you have teams that finish whatever, 40-some points out of the playoffs and, you know, equal scoring ineptitude marks to go back 45 years in the NHL. I mean, they botched it terribly.
Jerry,
this would have been a nice plum for them to get him.
Is anyone in Buffalo still wondering, and I didn't really think this was fair, but I thought you guys had a really good hockey coach in Ted Nolan. Is anyone in Buffalo still wondering why Nolan got let go? Because let's face it, they didn't really give him much to win with this year.
Look, I'm not Paul Blake or anything, and I watched him coach win years ago here. I watched what he did with the Latvians, but the people in Buffalo who know hockey think Ted Nolan is a joke as a coach. It's the same stuff that they were selling Larry Quinn and that group 18 years ago, that he's not an X's and O's coach. Mm-hmm. And that's all I can tell you. There's very few people that feel they let a good coach go. So you're in a minority there.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I often am.
Yeah, I'm with Jerry. You know, I think the evidence was pretty clear.
I'll disagree, but I just think, man, who could win with that? And then to be the placeholder and,
well, I understand that,
get
too.
The boot.
You know, I mean, by that argument, they shouldn't have fired Carlisle here. I mean, he had him in a playoff position.
He really got jobbed here at both ends. You know, he had the really good team, they took it away, and then they gave him back a real bad team in a bad situation where they wanted to lose. So you can draw all the stuff you want on the old chalkboard and, you know, your entry passes and all that stuff, but I think the idea that he's a terrible technical coach is, I'm not going to say it's a myth, but I think it's something people hear. It's very convenient for people to believe here. They didn't want to believe it when they thought he was great and in 97.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, there's a lot in this sport that's about effort, and he gets guys to play hard. I mean, Mike Babcock will tell you he was 5 minutes from beating him in the Olympics with that Latvian team. I mean, that was amazing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know what you're saying. That when you talk, there's a lot of analytics in this game right now, and Ted doesn't look good. But when those guys come to show up to play for him, there's certain intangibles there that mean more than, you know, puck possession numbers.
Can't make chicken soup if you don't got any chicken. Jerry Sullivan of the Buffalo News. Thanks, pal. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, well, thrilled to be on.
Talk to you again. There's Mr. Sullivan. Doug McLean is apparently now prepared to join us, and we'll do that.
His chopper has landed.
The Learjet has landed.
The Learjet, that's right.
Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free.
Bob, we better get at it and not waste any time here at the start of the segment.
24 before the hour on primetime. Doug McLean is with us now. I can tell you, McLean, I'm almost out of questions.
Good.
I've spent enough time talking about this Babcock stuff the last 2 days. I can't think of anything really interesting to ask you.
Yeah.
I got a few things.
Well, can you ask him something then? Because okay. he's not gonna come up with anything on his own, apparently.
All right, Doug. Here's my deal, buddy. Who does Mike Babcock have to work with? I mean, in terms of prospects, in terms of young up-and-coming guys, and I'm not talking about guys on the Leafs roster. I'm talking about, you know, guys like Nylander, Connor Brown, Levo, Piercy. Does he have anything down there to work with coming up through the pipeline?
Well, I think there's a limited group there. I mean, it's not one of the better minor league groups. There's no doubt about that. I don't think they have a Dylan Larkin that just signed with the Red Wings today, who's a top prospect, or they don't have the top young players like lots of organizations do. So I think the focus is going to be more on some of the Leafs players, the Morgan Riley, the Gardner, the Kadri. What becomes of these players, and what's he eventually think of them? I get a kick out of the fact that, well, he doesn't know the players. Are you mm-hmm. kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
He knows the players better than Shanahan knows the players, and Mark Hunter knows the players right now. He's coached against these guys. He's watched them. And when you come into an organization, you go through the process, he's made himself familiar with all these players, on whether it's Buffalo Sabres or Toronto, which essentially were the two teams that, you know, were there at the end.
Mm-hmm.
He has consistently, over the last couple of days, downplayed his role in the decision-making process. In other words, never suggesting that he will have significant influence on anything outside of the normal coaching responsibilities. Most people, I don't think, buy into that. Do you?
No, you don't buy into it, and you know, these three and four headed monsters don't typically work. It eventually comes down to the general manager, Shanahan, and Babcock. And you know, when you're paying a guy $50 million and maybe even more than that, from what I've been told, that you know, it's going to be a small group that will be the decision makers in Detroit. It was Mr. Ilitch, it was Ken Holland, and it was Babcock. He said that. Somebody asked him today about, you know, is he excited about working with a new general manager? And his basic conversation was, well, you know, we've got Dubas and Hunter and Shanahan and myself. I really like our group. Didn't sound like there was a glowing endorsement for a GM coming on board.
There was one thing
like
that
we don't need another head.
Right.
Exactly. And you know what, in fairness, when you're as experienced as he is, and, you know, you've got Shanahan as the president, I mean, how many people are going to be really, at the end of the day, be involved? Lots of input from people, lots of analysis, lots of input. At the end of the day, there's a couple of decision makers, and that's it.
One thing Mike Babcock said today that stood out to me, he was talking about Mark Hunter, and the quote was, we have to get him draft picks. Now, draft picks, I don't know if he means really high draft picks or just an accumulation of draft picks. So when I'm hearing that, Doug, I'm thinking that means there's going to be some bodies moving off this roster for, you know.
Well, yeah, and I think that's fair. And like I said, my comment to that was yes, but Mark Hunter's never drafted one NHL player.
Right, junior
drafted
draft.
Drafted midgets.
Right.
And all of a sudden, this is a little different kettle of fish when you're drafting NHL players. Mark Hunter's a good hockey man. He's a quality guy. I coached him in St. Louis. I like him a lot. But he's never drafted an NHL player. So, you know, yeah, he means we've got to get him high picks, but we also have to get him multiple picks. Mm-hmm. And my big thing is,
this is the most highly sought after coach in maybe the history of the NHL.
Might
be. At the end of the day, there was really two teams that were there that would go the money and go the term, and that was Buffalo and Toronto. I don't think Detroit's offer, I don't think they felt he would ever take it. I mean, the word for 6-8 months was 5 years, $5 million, $25 million. Detroit offered
That's right.
$4 million times five. At the end of the day, for the most highly sought-after guy, it wasn't Philly, it wasn't Pittsburgh, it wasn't Chicago, it wasn't San Jose, all the teams we heard about, it was Toronto and Buffalo, and that was his decision, in my opinion.
I asked him about going back to see Kenny Holland yesterday morning at his house and said, you know, if it was me, if I'm in your position, I'm going back there one last time before I'm going to decide, just to see if there's any way he could, you know, wiggle another $1 million a year out of them, an extra year on the contract. Under the premise that, you know, the devil you know is always better than the devil you don't. He wouldn't bite on that notion. But do you think that's possible or likely?
I think what's possible is if it's reasonably close, you know, let's say there's a 15% swing, but when we're talking a $30 million gap, that's hard to...
I get
you know,
that.
And not only that, but Bob, between us, you know that the Detroit Red Wings organization, you know Mike Ilitch. If they really wanted Babcock, they would have paid to keep him.
Well, I would say I agree with you. I would maybe change the way I would state that. If they certainly had the wherewithal to match any offer that was out there.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. There's no doubt. They weren't hindered by economic restraint.
No, not at all. Mike Ilitch is worth $4 billion.
Yeah.
And he's run the most successful franchise in the last 30 years in the NHL.
Yep.
From a consistency point of view, from a culture, from quality, from development, from every aspect that you look at as a franchise. So, you know, obviously there was an internal decision that this is as far as we'd go, and that's it. And I know Mr. Ilitch fairly well. And I know Jimmy Devolano pretty well. And I know Ken Holland very well. And that's the way it is. In my mind, there was two teams at the end.
Buffalo, Toronto.
Yeah,
I agree with you 100%. I just wonder whether that meeting yesterday morning was a last gasp. You know, that, gee, you know, I got the Buffalo offer. I'm leaning towards the Toronto offer, but...
Maybe.
You know,
maybe.
Boy, staying in Detroit might be a good idea, too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess we'll never know.
When the book comes out.
Ken's point was yesterday when I listened to him talk was, we did not feel, with Mike being here 5 years, that there's any possible way we would consider going above 5 years. That was Ken's comment, not mine.
Well, historically, that would be where the bar has almost always been.
Right.
Cite the case of the coach who signed for longer than 5 years.
Yeah, not many.
I can't think of one. Can you think of one?
No, and I think Buffalo, in fact, may have offered 10. Or
that's Toronto, what I was told, too.
One or the other, either Toronto or Buffalo. Now, I talked to Tim Murray yesterday via text, and I said, Tim, what happened? He said everything was positive. It was a family decision. So, you know, it came down to those two, and they thought they were going to get him, and you know, Babber and his family decided they wanted to come to Toronto more.
I asked Jerry Sullivan this for the Buffalo News just a few minutes ago. Where does Buffalo go now? Here's a guy acknowledged as the number one coach in the world, and they came within a whisker of getting him. How do you replace him? Who's the guy you bring in and trumpet him as the next savior of the Buffalo Sabres?
Well, you know what? I think you step back and you say, okay, who's out there? And you say, well, Dan Bylsma's still out there. Won a Stanley Cup. He's won as many as Babcock has won in the last, you know, they've each won one.
Yep.
there's Luke Richardson, who's one of the best up-and-coming young coaches in the game and in the minors, who's got a great reputation and is also a close friend to Tim Murray. You know, I think there's lots of ways they can go, to be quite honest. Boucher, who was down to the apparently he thought he was getting the Leafs job here.
Yeah.
He was in town yesterday and interviewed and left town here thinking he had a five-year deal. If they didn't get Babcock, in fairness to the Leafs, that was the situation. So there's good people out there. And Buffalo were recovered nicely, and they've got a good nucleus.
But I'm just wondering whether the fan base ever forgets.
Yeah, that's going to be tough when it's Toronto. But, you know, the fun thing here is going to be watch what are they how Babcock has never really lost. Is he going to be able to handle this?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they downplaying and coming in as the let's not forget, Randy Carlyle had this team in the playoffs last January. When he got fired, they were in the playoffs.
Oh, I know.
So you know, what are they going to do? Can he have them in the playoffs in January? Can he have them in the playoffs in March? I don't know.
What if he does make the playoffs with this team next year? Does that reset everything?
Maybe, you know what? No, maybe Carlisle would have made them last year if he would have stayed all year.
Sixth when he got fired. Okay, can I play a quick game with you, Doug? Babcock says he doesn't know the players. You say he does know the players. I'm going to list off some players for the Leafs. You let me know if they're Mike Babcock players. Phil Kessel. 61 points minus 34. Is he a Mike Babcock player?
No.
I'll answer that one. Tartar wasn't either.
Okay. Van Riemsdyk.
Oh, for sure.
Bozak.
Not a coach in the league would like him.
Right, Bozak.
Yeah, Bozak's a skilled guy that Babcock likes, that type of player.
Kadri.
I think he would. That's going to be one of his big challenges. But if he can get this guy to buy in, which I think he will, I think he's going to have a good player.
Peter Holland.
But he's a little down the depth chart, but Peter Holland's a good quality kid that I think every coach would like him.
And I have to save this one. This is the last one. This is the big question. Dion Phaneuf.
Yeah. You know what? I think people will be surprised. I mean, the challenge they've got is do they keep Dion and Kessel? Do they finally get rid of this core, or do they see if Babcock can make them into real players and really buy in? And you know, Dion will do whatever he's told to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they wanted him in Detroit.
They did.
Was the coach there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see. I like that. Well, I don't know the players. I have to get to know them. No, you know the players.
Yeah, and I think there's a real chance that the Maple Leafs do next to nothing now and let Babcock have a run at these guys. Just see
Maybe.
What you take your time. Mr. Babcock, find out who you like, who you don't like, who buys into the way you do things, and who won't, and then we'll judge ourselves accordingly.
Judging by what was said today, you'd have to buy into that.
Well, no, because you've got to. There's a plan in place. There's a plan in place, and according to Brendan, the plan is in place. He's well aware of the plan, and we'll move ahead. And I also heard a comment that he came around. You know, not around, but he sort of came closer to, or I don't know if it was bought in or what it was as the process moved along.
And oh, Mike?
If he, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I'm wondering if that happened as teams dropped out. I don't know. But look, there apparently is a plan in place. They've obviously explained the plan to him. Is that plan include Kessel and Phaneuf? It certainly didn't include them a month ago in the old plan. Is there a new plan?
Yeah, was that plan written by Shanahan and dictated to Babcock, or was it the other way around during the course of the conversation and negotiation?
And does more dictation start?
Oh, I think that goes without saying, but we'll watch that soap opera unfold on a daily basis.
What? The bottom line today is I don't care what happened, what anybody says, who said, she said, this said, that said. They got a really good coach today.
They got a good guy.
They got a great coach.
And we don't care what they pay him. Because it ain't our money.
That's right. The bottom line, they got a real good coach.
Mr. McLean, thank you very much as always, and off you go.
Thanks, bud.
Talk to you. Doug McLean of the NHL on Sportsnet.
Doug gave you an extra minute and a half there. He was supposed to be off the air at 5:50.
Yeah, if he could tell time, he'd have got off earlier. Buy a watch, McLean. Now what for the Detroit Red Wings? When we come back, the executive vice president and general manager of the Wings, mentioned many times on this program today. Ken Holland joins us. And then if you missed the Babcock interview from earlier, we'll replay that next on Primetime.